All right, let's talk siblings. For those of you that don't have one, let me explain some really basic sibling dynamics. One of the best parts about having a brother or sister is that you can blame them for stuff. You can point at them when something breaks in the kitchen. Hey, it was their fault. I didn't have anything to do with it. Or you can sneak your green beans onto their plate so that you get dessert first and they have to continue finishing their food. Brothers and sisters are why phrases like, they did it first, or it wasn't my fault, were invented. And even if you don't have a sibling, you probably had someone in your childhood who you'd put the blame on, or who would put the blame on you for something that they did. It was a cousin, a classmate, or a friend. I was sometimes that friend. I'm not proud to admit it, but it's true. Or maybe you had someone that you blamed for your mess ups. Our impulses as kids don't really change as adults. We remain pretty skilled at avoiding responsibility and putting the blame on someone else. I mean, maybe you've even seen clips of a preschooler that has red paint on their hands, and they say that they didn't put their handprints all over the wall. They give their parents that innocent look, but it's very clear that they're guilty. It's obvious that they're at fault. It's funny to watch, really funny to watch, but let's be honest. We all know what that feels like, even now that we're older. We all know what it's like to do something wrong and know that we're at fault, yet do anything that we can to avoid responsibility. So let me ask you a question. Do you remember the last time you felt guilty? Maybe you copied a little too much of your friend's homework, or maybe you didn't tell your girlfriend the whole story of what happened at the party. Maybe you lingered a little too long on that website. Maybe you told your stepmom that you were going one place, and you did wind up going to that place, but you went with a different crowd of people than you told her would be there. Or maybe you said that you were studying the whole time, but you were really just binging a new show with your textbook open. There are all sorts of things to feel guilty about. And no matter how old we get, it seems like our reaction is a lot like a five-year-old. We hide, or we stretch the truth, we make up excuses, or we try to cover it up altogether. When we feel guilty, we get really good at hiding. And we have all sorts of tricks for this. Maybe we avoid certain adults in our lives, like a small group leader or a coach, or we try not to make eye contact with our teacher, or suddenly we ghost our friends, or we play it cool around the people that are in charge. We might even turn off our location, stop sharing it with certain people. We do everything that we can to act as though nothing happened, even though on the inside, we know what we did was wrong, and it's actually eating us up. And this isn't just what we do with other people. If we believe in God, chances are our guilt causes us to hide from Him too. We know that God knows what we did, and we know that He knows that it was wrong. So we back away from our relationship with Him. It's easy to hide something that we did from the people around us, but it's much more complicated to hide those things from God, who knows everything. We can't actually run away from Him. So we just start to make Him less and less and less a part of our lives. I mean, maybe you still go to small group, but when the conversation gets real, suddenly you don't speak up anymore. Or maybe you still show up to church, but you're not really feeling it in worship anymore, and you don't even know if you want to or if you really want to be here. Maybe you tell everyone that you have too much going on with school and sports and everything else, but really, you just don't want to participate in this faith stuff anymore. No matter what it looks like for you, we all have the tendency to let our guilt get in the way of our faith. I know I've done it in my own life, probably more times than I could count. Thankfully, we're not the first people to have these kinds of experiences of guilt. I'm thankful for that. The Bible provides plenty of examples that we can learn from, and we're gonna talk about just one of them today. For the last few weeks, as a part of the Easter season, we've been in this series called Afterlife. We've looked at people who physically saw Jesus after the resurrection, after He came back to life. See, when you see a friend who died and is now walking around alive on his own power, it changes you. For many people, their lives were radically different after they saw the resurrected Jesus. Their afterlife was dramatically changed. And that includes this guy named Peter. Peter was one of Jesus's closest friends, and he was a key leader during the early days of the Christian movement. But Peter had some run-ins with guilt and shame, like all of us do sometimes. Peter was known as being Jesus's loud friend, which is, I'm also the loud friend, in case you're wondering. We all have them, or maybe you, like me, are that loud friend. And this got Peter in trouble from time to time. Actually, it happened pretty often. And one of the worst examples started when Jesus was arrested. See, Jesus was praying in a garden, some of his closest friends nearby, and on that same evening, this group of people showed up to arrest him. And when they come to arrest him, Peter steps up and stabs a guy, which sounds intense, but he cuts the guy's ear off, which is either terrible aim or he needs to ask for a refund from the person who taught him how to shank. Like, it's just so strange. It was definitely a bold move, but it was a weird move. It was still bold. It's not a recommended strategy to prove your loyalty to a friend. Don't stab anybody in the ears. It's just the worst. But hey, at least he was there for Jesus. But then get this. Just hours later, when Jesus was given the sketchy, bogus trial, Peter stood nearby and you'd expect him to step up, but instead, he lied three separate times about his connection to Jesus. He denied even knowing the guy. He went from stabbing a guy in the ear to denying knowing Jesus altogether. Even worse, before any of this happened, Jesus actually told Peter that he would do exactly that, that he would deny being connected to Jesus at all. Jesus basically told Peter, "I've experienced your loyalty so far, but when it comes down to the end, you won't be loyal to me." Peter defends himself, assuring Jesus that he would never do that. And then, at Jesus's lowest, most difficult moment, that's exactly what Peter did. Jesus was arrested, tried, and nailed to a Roman cross. And the last thing that Peter did was deny even knowing him. I mean, I almost feel guilty for him. What a brutal end to his story, right? But like we've talked about in the series, Jesus's death wasn't the end of the story. Easter happens. The tomb is empty and Jesus is alive. The whole direction of the story takes on this incredible change, which is awesome, unless you're Peter. See, maybe he had some mixed feelings about the whole thing. He may have thought, "I'm so glad Jesus is back, but does that mean that I have to face him after what I did to him?" To Peter, it's possible the resurrection was a reminder of the guilt and the shame that he felt. And if he felt guilt, I sometimes wonder if he ran through all the same phases that we do. I wonder if he wanted to lie or exaggerate or defend himself or even to hide from Jesus altogether. See, a few days later, Jesus was actually on the shore of the Sea of Galilee. Peter was in a boat with the other disciples and they all saw Jesus. They went to the shore, Jesus made breakfast, and he brought up the thing that no doubt was weighing on Peter's mind. And one of Jesus's other closest friends, this guy named John, who was actually also there at breakfast, wrote down what happened. Look at what he said. "When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, 'Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?' 'Yes, Lord,' he said. 'You know that I love you.' Jesus said, 'Feed my lambs.' Again, Jesus said, 'Do you love me?' He answered, 'Yes, Lord, you know that I love you.' Jesus said, 'Take care of my sheep.' The third time he said to him, 'Simon, son of John, do you love me?' And Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, 'Do you love me?' He said, 'Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you.' And Jesus said, 'Feed my sheep.'" See, Peter denied knowing Jesus three times, and then Jesus asked Peter, "Do you love me?" three times. In other words, for every time that Peter denied knowing Jesus, Jesus gives Peter another chance. And in giving him a chance, Peter knows that he's loved and forgiven. Jesus wants Peter to know that he has a second chance. He even tells Peter that he wants him to continue to lead, which is why he said, "Feed my sheep." This exchange is fascinating. Jesus asked Peter if he still loves him. As humiliating and terrible as it was for Peter to deny Jesus, here was a chance to make it right. Even though Peter may have given up on himself, Jesus hadn't given up on Peter. Peter could have given in to his guilt and gone into hiding, but that isn't what Jesus wanted for Peter. Jesus didn't want Peter's life to be defined by guilt. He wanted Peter to experience grace. Peter knew that Jesus had been killed, and then he saw Jesus after he came back to life. This proved to Peter that Jesus was capable of offering him the grace that he needed to forgive himself. The resurrection showed Peter the power Jesus had, and Peter's encounter with Jesus on the beach that day showed that Jesus chose to offer him powerful grace. The resurrection proved that guilt didn't have to destroy Peter's faith. Instead, grace could destroy his guilt and fuel his faith. Because of grace, Peter was no longer controlled by his guilt. Because of grace, Peter accepted the love Jesus offered him. Because of grace, Peter traveled around the world preaching about that same grace that changed his life. Think of it this way. Because of the resurrection, Peter realized that grace is greater than guilt. I don't know what's been causing you to feel guilty, but chances are, the entire time we've been discussing this topic, you've had something on your mind and on your heart. If you're ready for something new, I want to give you just a couple of steps that you can start taking right now. First one is to start by getting real about where you feel guilt. This can be really tough, especially if you've hidden something so deep that you feel numb to it. But think about where you feel that lingering guilt right now. Be honest with yourself about it. Acknowledge it. Journal about it. Or even put it down in a note on your phone. Just get honest, whatever that looks like. Then remember that guilt is no match for God's grace. Ask God to remind you that He is with you and for you, even on those tough days. Ask Him to cover your guilt with the overwhelming reality of His grace. Listen, Easter matters for so many reasons. It shows us how big God's love is, what God is like exactly, and how God is more powerful than anything else, including death. But Easter also shows us that Jesus is bigger than our guilt, so much bigger. Jesus gives us grace, and it's ours for the taking. So, when you feel those old guilty feelings kicking in, ask God to give you a new reaction. And then finally, keep showing up and speaking up. Do the opposite of what guilt guides you to do or has guided you to do in the past. Instead of hiding, show up in your small group's text thread. Show up at a church gathering. Show up to hang out with your friends. Show up to meetups with your small group leaders. After the resurrection, Peter didn't hide from Jesus. It would have been easier to, but he didn't. Like Peter, you and I, we just need to keep showing up. The resurrection proved that our guilt is no match for God's grace. We don't have to let guilt change our faith anymore. Instead, we get to let grace change our guilt. We know that talking about God's grace is one thing, but experiencing it is something entirely different. And that's why we have small groups. We want you to have a safe place to fight for that grace when your guilt feels too heavy. Small group is the safest place for you to discover this alongside your friends and your small group leaders. Your small group leaders have literally gone through training of how to handle some really hard conversations. And they have people that they can get real with about their guilt as well. So they've experienced it too. They've encountered grace and they will pass that same grace on to you. Why? Because that's what the resurrected Jesus demonstrated in Peter's life. And that's why Peter's life after, or his afterlife, was so powerful. Because of the resurrection, Peter realized that grace is greater than guilt. And because of Easter, you and I can realize that as well.